Ladies and gentlemen, the wait is over. Ah, yeah. It's just like riding a bike, man. We are back. And I did this the last time we started this. I got to do it again. I'm sorry. I apologize. Terrible. I apologize, man. Last time we were on, we said that we were going to do one of these shows every, like, I don't know if I said 1 week or every 2 weeks, but I do know this, that it's been a month since we last came to you on Three Guys Before the Game. Thanks so much for being with us. Tony Caridi along with the Senator, and in the middle, for those of you that are watching in on whatever device it is, yes, Tariq Phillip joins us on the program. Nathan Adrian has summarily been dismissed from this episode of Three Guys Before the Game.
Just this episode, though. He can work his way back
yes, in. Yes, yes, yes. Matter of fact, I saw him last week. I said, dude, we need to tape another Three Guys. He said, yeah, just call me. But I didn't. I didn't. I wanted him. I wanted Tariq on instead. And we're going to focus on this episode. We're going to talk about what's Tariq been up to, kind of a where are they now type segment, because he's playing professionally now. Talk about his WVU career. And talk about the new guys in this Mountaineer program, because the rules have changed so much, allowing teams to get together and practice, that he's been practicing, playing open gym with the newcomers, and get his take on that. So with all that being said, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it, man.
No problem, no problem. Pleasure to be here.
You know, I could have picked a lot of guys. I mean, I could have picked Jayshon. I could have picked Truck. I could have picked, you know, Jayshon, all those guys. I said, no. I want you.
Okay, okay.
I want you. Yeah, I want you, because I think you can give us some good insight. You know why I said it? Because I went over and watched practice last week, and I watched you guard, and I said to myself, is there any better way for Jordan McCabe and the young guys to learn how to play at this level than to have you basically performing a colonoscopy on them every single time they try to bring the ball up the floor? I mean, you talk about on somebody's hip. And I don't know. It probably helps you, obviously. It's keeping you in shape. And I thought for those guys, you do that for 3 months, it'll get them ready in a lot quicker
means. Against a pro.
Against
right?
a pro.
Against a pro.
Against a long pro. Mm-hmm. Right? A 6'3 guard pro. So that's good. So you having fun doing that?
Definitely, man. You know, it's always good coming back, playing with the guys, seeing what they got. And what kind of talent Hugs and coaching staff bring in.
You're a New York guy, and it always is interesting as you go over now and you see all of you guys, the former players, no matter where you came from, you stay around here in Morgantown. So why here and why not back home?
To be honest, it's just a feeling of home, away from home kind of thing. The facilities here are great. The access to certain things that we have as alumni here. And, you know, the town of Morgantown itself, just being family, treating everybody as family and vice versa. So
that's interesting, isn't it? When you think about, I mean, when we think, obviously, of the city, it's busy. Mm-hmm. It's happening. And here, it's chill. Mm-hmm. And you would think, well, no way, man. I got to get back into the concrete jungle, man. I got to be where things are happening. But instead, you're here. Truck's here. Deshaun's here. KJ's here. Jayshon's here. Alex Ruoff is here. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to come back. So that's kind of interesting. It says something.
Yeah, it says a lot, I think. As I said, just the culture we have here, everybody treats everybody as family. Everybody has the same common goal to continue to get better, whether it's wherever it is, you know. So it's a great place to come back and get better.
What a two-way advantage that is, though. One, for you guys to come back and be able to have that competition with the younger guys and the guys you played with, but also from a program standpoint, what a huge help for Bob Huggins, that staff, and that program to have you guys back, you on the floor helping to coach and teach McCabe and all these other guys.
It was kind of the same thing kind of when I was here as a sophomore and a junior. A lot of the old guys came back and gave us little tips and hints on how to become a better college collegiate player, so come back and try to do the same thing that the older guys taught me.
So when you were baby Reek, when you were baby Reek here, who was it that would get up on you and dog you?
Truck did it a couple of times. Flowers did it a couple of times. And, you know, Jawan, well, he was still here and he left, but Jawan did it a couple of times as well. A lot of the older guys, they always do it.
How much did you know Truck Bryant? He's a Brooklyn guy as well. Mm-hmm. How much did you know him or of him before you got here?
Well, I knew of him because he was a big name. And
oh, he was?
Yes, he was.
Was he as big of a name as he tells you he was?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. To be honest, he was.
And it's hard being a name in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm, I agree. But he was a good household name in New York City. A lot of people knew him. He was a good high school player, still a good player now. I didn't know much of him while I was in New York, but when I came here, you know, he's from New York, I'm from New York, so we kind of meshed and clicked easily, yeah.
That's an instant click. I mean, that's like putting a zipper in, mm-hmm. right? I mean, when you guys get here, it's mm-hmm. kind of like we're all the same.
Yeah, correct.
And you even let KJ into the party, even though he's from Mount Vernon.
Yeah, you know, KJ's not a New York guy, but he's a New York guy.
Yeah, you're kind of, sort of.
I hope he's not watching this.
We'll let you in, KJ. It's kind of, sort of. What was your, when you first got here, and I want to get back a little bit as to how you got here, because it was a couple of bounces when you got here.
Yep.
How long did it take you to feel comfortable?
I would say after my first 2 weeks, I was pretty comfortable here. Juwan, he was a great guy for me to come in and look at and watch examples of what he's supposed to do and what I'm supposed to do, you know. He was a good guy on the court, off the court as well. And I felt like, as I said, it was like a home away from home feeling. I kind of meshed with the guys on the team very easily. And, you know, the coaching staff, you know, they treat you like family and son. So,
yeah, and you got another New York guy there in Larry Harrison, because he knows where you guys were.
What was that Bob Huggins style like, though? When you first arrived and it's, all right, it's not the recruiting Bob mm-hmm. Huggins, it's the coaching and we're getting after it and there's no cameras on. Here we go. What was that like when it first hit you?
To be honest, it was a little weird because I couldn't really read him at first. Yeah, it was kind of tough because I didn't know how to really read him. But as we went through practices and open gyms and things like that, I kind of felt what he wanted out of me and what he wanted out of me as a person, you know. So that was the main thing.
That's interesting because you were going to play for Frank Martin, which is basically a clone
yes, sir.
Of Hugs. So there must be something inside of you which enjoys that type of coaching.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Coaches like that are that intense and are that into the game and passionate about the game always bring out the best in the play, I feel like. When you're hard on a kid, it's either going to break the kid or make the kid. That's how I see it. And the ones that usually strive and push through are, you know, they make it.
And so. And you always seem to handle it well. I always thought you and Jay Sean were two of the best I've ever seen at handling him. And really when he's up in you hard. Mm-hmm. You guys never flinched, never backed down, never looked away, never hung your head, never mm-hmm. pouted. So it did seem like you legitimately were, all right, I got it, let's go. I hear what you're saying, let's move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's kind of how my parents were as well, you know. Coming from a family of four kids, they didn't really have time to, you know, baby you or give you that special treatment thing. So it was either, this is how it's going to be. It's very stern, you know, instruction.
Or I'll bust your ass.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah. So where do you fit in among the four kids? Are you older, younger, middle?
I'm the third child.
Third child.
One younger than me.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you say that once Hugs gets into you, because he gets a little bit of when he gets going.
Yeah.
But so do you.
I agree, yeah.
I mean, you also, you go, I always call it like a little bit of a crazy eye. I mean, there's certain players, they get that crazy eye, and it's kind of mm-hmm. like, I'm so locked in right now. It seemed as though, here's my guess, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. So when you did get here, you said you were trying to feel Hugs out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you probably tried to push a few of his buttons to see where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, I think that was the word on you, that you were trying to kind of feel your way around.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically wasn't going to have any of it, as he doesn't. And it was just a matter of you're either going to get in line with me or you're not going to get in line. And he won.
Correct. Yeah. I'm a guy that kind of likes to see what he can get done and what he can't get done, if that makes sense. In the right
perfect sense.
In the right term. So, yeah.
Because you're a New York guy, and that's what New York guys do.
They want to take it to
the absolute edge of the cliff, mm-hmm. and they want to see how much room they have to wiggle. That's what New York guys do.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I get
and
you.
And he pretty much let me know within my first couple of weeks, like, certain stuff was not tolerated here, and this is how this program is ran.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you first put your arms around Press Virginia, had you ever pressed a lot in your past career, and what was your initial reaction when they said, no, this is 40 minutes of this. Did you go, I'm in, I'm totally giddy to this?
Mm-hmm. I've pressed in AAU when I was young, but this is a different kind of press. Like when Coach Huggs and Harry brought it to me and said that we were pressing, I was kind of enthused because I was like, you know, I've done this before, so it might not be so difficult. And it turned out to be great, actually. So,
because you seemed like a perfect piece to that, mm-hmm. offensively and defensively. That seemed like it fit your game perfectly. Yeah.
I feel like it did as well. And just being with how many guys that we had, we actually had about 11, 12 guys that could actually really play at a mm-hmm. high level. So that just made it even easier. We made our mind up and said, you know, if we go out and play defense as hard as we can versus their 6-7 guys, then it's going to be really tough for them.
I will never change from this, no matter how long they do this press Virginia, that you will always, to me, be the perfect example of what you have to play this style of play. So you're 6'3" mm-hmm. and you're long and you are ferociously tough. I mean, it didn't matter who it was or what their rep was. You just got into their face. You're the perfect example of, okay, if someone like
physical, right?
Oh, yeah. Physical, tough, don't care who you are. I'm just going to get up in you. You're the classic definition. So if like the younger guys come in, and I know you're playing with him right now, you go like, okay, how do you do it? Well, go put Tariq Phillip tape on and go watch him guard. That's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is. I think you, JC, mm-hmm. Daxter, all of those guys, Jayshon defended better as his last year here. I think you guys have all kind of, you built the brand of what it is and how do you mm-hmm. play this.
And I think the thing about it is all those guys that you named along with myself, we all had, I wouldn't even say an underdog rating or something like that, but we took that as like a little chip on our shoulder. We knew that we weren't classified as the best, but we knew we had the best in us, you know?
Oh, 100%. So
that was the main thing, I feel like.
I think what you just said is the absolute DNA of a West Virginia University athlete. More times than not, they've been told that they're not good enough to play at a different level. We could do it in basketball. We could do it in football and point to guys and said, Stevie Slayton was told he wasn't good enough to play for Maryland. They pulled his scholarship. Pat White was said, you're not good enough to be a quarterback. You got to go play D-back. We can do it in basketball as well. And those guys, Deshaun, I mean, he didn't have any Big East offers coming up. Mm-hmm. That's exactly, it's player development is mm-hmm. what it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Coach's staff does a great job of that.
Offensively, that system, though, seemed to fit you as well. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily a pure shooter, but you could shoot it and make shots. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily a one-on-one guy, but in the open court, you could be a one-on-one guy. Did you feel like that style of defense played into your particular skill set offensively as well?
Yes, I feel like it did because we got out and we ran on teams, you know. We got stops. We got out on the open court. And once you got a lot of athletes on the court at a certain time, it's pretty hard to stop.
Then you're just playing, yeah, right? You're just playing ball.
It's pretty hard to stop people when you have a lot of athletes on the court.
Really missed you last year. Couldn't finish. Mm-hmm. Couldn't finish. We couldn't finish at the rim. Could not finish at the rim. Really missed you last year because mm-hmm. Year before that, when you would take it in there, one way or another, it was going to find them.
Especially late.
Mm-hmm. Late, yeah.
Right? Especially late in games when it was on the line, it felt like you were going to make something happen, whether it's hit a mid-range or get to the basket and get fouled. You seem to really have a knack to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking here during the course of the last season. I'm going, okay, so I'm asking these guys, so how's Tariq doing? Like, Tariq's doing great. Oh, really? Tariq's doing great? Yeah, he's a British citizen now. I'm going, like, wait a second. He's from Brooklyn. He was going to go to South Carolina. How all of a sudden, like, is he like Prince Diana's like nephew or something? So what's the deal on that? How are you a British citizen?
My mother was born and raised in London. So awesome. She was about 19, yeah, so I filed for citizenship so I could get a dual citizenship for over there as well.
And so what's that allow you to do? What does that open up opportunities for you to do?
It allows you to play as a European instead of as a U.S. citizen where certain countries are only allowed two Americans.
Aha, so, I got you.
So you become more valuable instantly because you're not taking up one of those two American spots. Correct, yeah. Correct.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So does your mom have a British accent at all left?
Only when she gets mad sometimes, I would say. not most of the time, though. She speaks. Yeah.
How did you find, did an agent bring that to your attention? Did you always know that was the case? How did you, I don't want to say exploit mm-hmm. that because it's real, but how'd you come about getting that done?
Somebody had mentioned it to me my senior year in West V, and I kind of blew it off, but my agent, like, kind of pushed for it and was like, yeah, I think it's a good idea. And
yeah.
Yeah, it came pretty quick, quicker than I thought, actually.
And Joe Alexander, obviously, you know of.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he uses it because he was raised in China for a good stretch, so he can use that deal as well. So bring folks up to date with what your first season was overseas. You bounced to a couple of different places, right?
Yeah, I have. I started off in Hungary for my first 6 months. Hungary was pretty different, you know, to go there as the first place, first stop. It was pretty different because of the language barrier. Nobody really spoke English there. It was only the capital, Budapest, where they actually spoke a little English.
Right.
Everywhere else was just, you know, Hungarian.
What was the size of the town that you were in?
It was real small. It was 10,000 people in my town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that wasn't too good either. But
they the pay best, you? Did pardon? They pay you?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so it was a good club.
On
yeah, it was
time? They could get your money on time?
Yeah, it was a good club. We were actually the number one team out there. I think they finished winning the whole league. They're actually in the finals right now. So it was a pretty good team, pretty good club.
What level do they play at? For example, if you took your team in Hungary and put them into the Big 12, like what are they like? Are they a fifth-place team, a first-place team? What are they like?
They're probably a first-second-place team. Yeah, so just because their brains for the game overseas is totally different. Like,
what do you mean?
I don't even know how to explain it. Like, they think the game while they're playing it, like, on a different level. It opened my eyes up, like, completely.
Well, go on that, then. What's that mean? You're talking about basketball IQ.
Yeah, basketball IQ, for example, a lot of the big men here in the States are just athletic. You know what I'm saying? So they just play off that. A lot of the big men overseas aren't that athletic, so they outsmart bigs, if that makes sense.
So great footwork, positioning, passing, angles.
Everything. They're very skilled at that. Big size, you know what I'm saying?
So once you started playing against those guys, they're doing a couple things. You're going like, holy heck, look
at
this.
Like, maybe I gotta take some notes on this. You know? So
did it make you better?
Definitely. I took what I learned from there because I had a couple good players on that team. One guy that played on the Hungarian national team as a guard, he was pretty good. He's probably the best guard in Hungary. And I took what I learned from them and I just brought it to Spain where I finished up my first year for 2 months, and I feel like I excelled when I was able to do what I needed to do, you know, after learning.
What city were you in Spain?
Logroño. It's like not too far from San Sebastian area.
And the food?
That's the best part, the food and you know, and the women, of course.
That's good.
Well, go on food. We got to go on food, because every time we bring one of you guys back, we got to talk food. So, how'd that work? What'd you eat during the day?
Okay, you wake up in the morning. Thing. What are we doing for breakfast? Yeah, what are we going for breakfast?
I kind of like a traditional breakfast, American-style breakfast. So, pancakes, eggs.
They have that.
Yeah.
Where were you going? Where did you go to get that?
I actually made that.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Right.
So, but for lunch and dinner, I usually went out, and they had plenty of restaurants all over the place. My actual town in Spain was a wine town as well. So that was pretty good as well. But the food, they brought a lot of food out. It was like three different plates. It was a appetizer, which was huge. It was everything was just big portions. They just fed you a lot.
Are you getting a food allowance, or is that on your dime when you're going out to eat? That's on you.
Yes, correct. Yeah? That's on us.
So what kinds of things are we talking? We're talking chicken. We're talking pork.
Pork.
Like pigs, beef. They got great pigs there in Spain. Great pigs. Those Iberian pigs. I mean, seriously, unbelievable.
It was great food. Seafood was okay as well. I'm a big seafood guy. So.
Don't eat the seafood unless you can see the water. Just remember, unless you see the water, don't eat the seafood.
Was Hungary a different deal? Was there living-wise just a different situation than Spain?
Yeah, it was just the culture. The culture was just very, very different, you know? I felt like
a little colder.
Yeah, a little much colder, actually.
What I'm talking about, personality-wise, they a little bit colder type people?
Yeah, I would say so, a little
more
colder.
Of that New York, kind of like walk by in the street and don't look at you?
Yeah, won't even say nothing to you. Yeah, and Spain was all the old other end, you know?
Yeah, they'd wrap you up, hey!
Right, like they knew you forever.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting there in Hungary, and it's so different, and it's such a shock to your system, are you sitting there thinking, you know what, this is still pretty cool, I'm getting played to play basketball? Mm-hmm. Or are you sitting there thinking, what did I just do? Where am I?
I actually embraced it. I had two Americans on my team as well who were third and fourth year guys, so they've been a couple of places, so they kind of made it easier for me, you know. They taught me certain things that I should be looking for or doing while I was out there. You know, they just made it, it's like a little brother away from home, you know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in the off season and you're training here in Morgantown and you're playing. Do you have any ideas to where you're going to be going in the fall?
Nah, to be honest, I really don't. I kind of want to go back to Spain, because I've heard that the basketball is probably the highest level out there. So, to be honest, it doesn't really matter.
Does it worry you that you will get an opportunity, or are you sure you will get an opportunity?
A little of both, you know, because as you know, as I said, being that I'm a European now, it's kind of up in the air. So I kind of want to go to a place where I'm going to play, mm-hmm. you know, and have the opportunity to do what I want to do, as well as win and, you know, collect funds.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's jump into your last season here. When you look back at it now, oh, why that brought a smile to your face. When you look back at your last season here, how much have you thought about back about it? What did you like? What didn't you like?
My last season, I feel like it was a blast, man. We ended up in the Sweet 16, finished off there. We felt like we could have went even further if I would have played a decent game. But it was, for the most part, it was a great year. I felt like I could have did a lot of things differently. I could have bettered myself as well as the team, but, you know, time went on, you know, it happened, you know.
You said you didn't like the game that you played at the end, the Sweet 16 mm-hmm. game.
Yeah.
How much does that bother you?
I ain't gonna lie, it bothered me for a couple of months for the summer. But then when I found out I had the opportunity to go play again, to kind of, you know, kind of use that as fuel. But
what, when you look back on it, I didn't know, I forgot what you'd shot in that game. You didn't shoot well.
1 for 11.
So that you knew that. I didn't need to tell you that.
Yeah.
When you look back on it, what was up that game?
I don't know, man. It's stuff, things that I would make didn't go down.
Got frustrated?
Yeah, I could say that. And then the defensive side of the ball, I kind of made silly fouls that I shouldn't have made. At the end of the game, I put a, 90-something% free throw shoot on the line. I just feel like it was mental lapses.
Can I ask you about the last play at the end?
Hey, I wouldn't have went nobody else shooting it, to be honest. So I wouldn't even say nothing about it because he was the guy. If it wasn't me shooting it, I would rather him shoot it, to be honest with you. It was nobody else that I would rather shoot it.
Mm-hmm. You run that. Does that play bother you? Do you think about that?
Yeah, a little bit, just because of the fact that I wasn't in the game to try to help the team. But like I said, it is what it is. He shot it. I had no problem with him shooting it because that's who I wanted to shoot it anyway.
You'd take that matchup again 10 times out of 10, wouldn't you? Play that same game again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a win for us.
There was a 6-plus minute delay in that game when they went to the replay monitor.
Mm-hmm.
How big of an impact do you think that had on? Personally, I thought it gave Gonzaga, it's a half of a halftime. Here, get your rest, get your legs.
Correct. Anytime that the officials stop the game and go to a review and it's a delayed period, it kind of works in the favor of whoever's playing against West Virginia because they get a break and they get to set up, press break and things like that. So it always works into their favor.
Yeah. All right, let's jump ahead here and talk about the kids you've been playing against, and they are kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're 24,
mm-hmm.
so you got McCabe out there, and he's probably 18. There's probably some young guys out there. You're talking about men against boys. I think a lot of people would love to know where you think those guys are at. So let's kind of bounce a couple of these guys down here. So Jordan McCabe comes in with a great deal of fanfare. I think he can handle it as well as mm-hmm. I've seen anyone handle it at that age. What's your scouting report on him?
Very skilled guy. Gets wherever he wants on the floor. Knock down open jump shots. Even contested jump shots. He's a tough player, real tough player.
So when he gets into big boy basketball here mm-hmm. now, come November and then in December, what do you think he'll be able to do? What do you think it's going to take time for him to be able to do?
He's going to be able to get wherever he wants on the floor. My thing with him is I like his shot selection because he doesn't force shots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He takes what's given, you know. He doesn't try to do anything out of the extraordinary. But when it comes down to it, I want to see how he guards under the whistle because, you know, open gym is open gym. But guarding under the whistle, which I feel like everybody gets better at if you want to stay here, to be honest. That's just the main part. Offensive side, he's as skilled as he gets.
Yeah. I was taken aback by how well he delivers the ball to people. I mean, he finds people and puts it right in their hands.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yeah.
Before you jump ahead real quick, as you start the education process with some of these guys and you come in and you're matching up with them in a scrimmage, Tony used a good term there, big boy. do you think in your, I'm a big boy, you here early just to show you what this is all like? Here, I'm picking you up, and I'm going to body you a little bit, and then we'll back it down. I'll start helping you and learning. Do you big boy him to start?
Of course, you have to, just to let them know that.
I could see you were doing this.
Here's what it is.
Yeah, I could see.
You have to, I feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a clip of video last week where you literally were talking to him, and you were kind of saying, okay, don't do this, do this, do this.
That was when we played one-on-one. He asked me to play one-on-one just so I could guard him and, you know, so he could learn defensive tactics, how a good defender guards people. And I was just telling him, like, attack high foot. You're fast enough. Usually you're quicker than everybody, you know. So if you attack that high foot, it's either in college, they're going to foul you, or you're going to get by them.
What do you mean attack the high foot?
Yeah, stay there for a second.
Walk
stay
there. Through.
That's technical there. Uh-huh. Did you just pick that up, or did you have that in college? Is that since you've been a pro? Where did that kind of analysis come in?
Just being as a defender, I know if somebody wants to beat me, they have to attack this foot in order for me to drop it, in order for them to cut the angle and get by me, you know? So I was just giving him that little insight. If you attack high foots at all times, it's kind of what James Harden does. He always beats the defender off his high foot. He's either going to get fouled or he's going to get to the basket with Will. And with Jordan's skill and creativity, he's going to get by people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The old high foot. There you go.
That's a good little analysis
Very, very good. Trey Dooms. I like him too.
Yeah, he's an athlete. Run, jump, defend. His jump shot is a little unorthodox, but it's not nothing that Hugs hasn't seen. Yeah, but he's an extreme athlete, and I feel like he'll fit right into Press Virginia because he's going to guard, he's going to defend.
I think he's like a young Dax. Mm-hmm. Don't you?
Yeah, I can see that.
A little angular, athletic, tough, go up, get the, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't really back down as well either. He doesn't say much, but he doesn't back down. That was the thing with him. Yeah, that's what I noticed.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Have you had the opportunity? I know Jermaine Haley just started playing last Wednesday, the big 6'7" point guard. You bumped into him yet?
No, I haven't, actually. I'm actually going to go back and play open gym with him after this. Yeah. I haven't seen much of him, though.
I heard he looked.
Text us and let us know how tall he is, because he got into Creed. He said he's closer to 6'8".
He's not. Yeah. I stood next to him. He's not 6'8".
No, not 6'8". Maybe 6'6".
He's 6'6", 6'7". Yeah. Now, you're not running into these guys on a regular basis, but the bigs, Culver, he got pretty body, doesn't he?
Yeah, man. I didn't think he was going to come in as big as he did. Because when I first seen him on his visit, I actually hosted him. He was kind of, you know, he had a decent body, but now he's frilled out all the way.
He angled out.
Yeah.
He got a V.
Yeah, definitely. And my thing with him was, he's taller than Sags. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he
is. I didn't know he was
bigger. Well, Sags is like 5'9".
Yeah, something like that.
Speaking of height.
Right. Yeah, but he's pretty big, and he's athletic for that size as well. He can move. Once he gets the certain tactics down that Hugs wants defensive-wise, he's gonna be pretty good as well.
I know Andrew Gordon's still dealing with his knee, but you could tell that he'll have that body type. They'll grow him into a player.
Yep.
It's amazing, yeah. Amazing. All right, I'm looking down the list here to see if I'm missing anyone else.
Matthews isn't here yet.
Yeah, Matthews is coming in sooner than later. And then the rest of the guys, obviously, you played with. So I think they're going to be able. I don't think last year, Tariq, that they could. They really were 9 guys. They couldn't do 12, 13 guys. I think next year, legitimately, they'll go 12 and 13 guys, and then it'll wear people out. Yeah. All right. Anything we didn't ask you that you want to be asked about? You got a record album coming out or anything like that? Man, you signing autographs anywhere?
I quit rapping, man.
Oh, I know. There is one. There is one. And last thing I did want to ask you. On-ball defender, who's better, you or Javon Carter?
Oh, man, you know I got to say me. JC's a tough defender, man. He really is. We've had our battles, you know, as you know, 3 years, being practice, guarding each other full court. I'm getting to him. He's getting to me same way, so. We pretty both good defenders, I'd say.
Yeah, you had to be happy with the season that he had, right?
Yeah, he had an outstanding senior season.
Yeah.
I actually just texted him yesterday. I'm waiting on when is it, the 20th?
Coming up, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm waiting. Happy to see another Mountaineer, you know, do good.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, listen, buddy, we hope that you've enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. So now we're permanently going to fire Nathan Adrian. I mean, the guy, you think we can do that, Brad? Then we can just.
Well, we'll see.
All right, maybe. Well, this is what we'll do. We'll officially announce on this edition of the Three Guys Before the Game that Nathan Adrian is on indefinite suspension for conduct unbecoming of a podcaster. Other than that, he's still good in our books. All right, Tariq, thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Music's on, man. We are out. Okay, so let me ask you this on air here before we go away. When will we do another one of these?
We'll try and hit the two-week mark. You said last time every 2 weeks. We'll try at least 2 weeks. We'll try and hit it again.
Reek, you think we could get Jay Sean in here? Will he come in?
Yeah, he'll come. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, we're out. Thanks for being with us. Take care. Don't forget to subscribe. Give us a rating. Tell people about it. Spread the word to Reek Phillip, Three Guys Before the Game. We're out. See you.